Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text which serves as the basis for this morning's proclamation is the gospel reading for today from Mark chapter 4. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, a farmer and his relative walk out on the property one beautiful June evening, and they survey the crops, and the wheat is looking excellent. The harvest is sure to be bountiful this year. The relative asks the farmer, "How did you do it? What is your secret to such a good crop, such a bountiful harvest?" And the farmer gives a long and knowledgeable answer about seed brands and when to plant and what chemicals to use and which machines work the best. All of this effort and technique and know-how on the part of the farmer explains the success of the crop. And the neighbor is duly impressed and a bit envious. A pastor has an old friend visit over the weekend. And the friend attends the pastor's church on Sunday morning. And he notices how large the crowd is, how many people are in attendance on a Sunday, how many activities and programs are going on. After church, the friend asks the pastor, "How did you do it? What's your secret to growing such a large congregation?" The pastor gives a long and knowledgeable answer about outreach methods and sermon topics and worship styles. All of this that this pastor has done explains the success. And the friend is duly impressed and a bit envious. A mom can't help but notice how solid and happy the family next door seems to be. The family gets along so well together. They're active in church and community. The kids are polite and helpful and smart. "What is your secret?" she asks the mom. "How did your family turn out so well?" And the mom gives a long and knowledgeable answer about parenting approach and parenting books and discipline methods. All of this explains her success. And the other mom is duly impressed and a bit envious. When you and I experience success, we like to take credit for the success. "Oh, you noticed how well that went. Well, here's what I did to make that happen." In Mark chapter 4, Jesus uses parables to talk about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the good news of Jesus' love and salvation at work in the world. The good news that Jesus died and rose again and calls us to repent and believe this good news. That gospel, that kingdom of God, it grows as people hear and believe the good news. And also in Mark 4, Jesus explains how this kingdom of God grows. How does this work? How is it that the ministry of Jesus took off the way that it did? How is it that despite the resistance of the religious leaders, crowds of people were following Jesus and hanging on his every word? How is it that the Christian faith as a whole began with just a man crucified on a cross and then grew to be the largest religion in the world today? What is the secret to this kingdom's success? Jesus doesn't answer the way we would. He doesn't take credit to himself or even take credit to his disciples. He says, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground night and day. While the farmer is asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. What is the secret to the success of the seed? What makes the kingdom of God grow? The seed grows on its own. The Greek word there is automate. The word we get our English word automatic from that word. The seed grows automatically on its own. The farmer can't take the credit. The farmer doesn't even know how the seed works. So it's not the methods and the technique or the know-how of the farmer. It's the power of the seed itself. The kingdom of God grows by itself like a seed without anyone's help or technique or expertise. No one gets the credit for the growth of the kingdom of God. No one gets to take the credit for the growth of Christian faith or life. No one gets to take the credit for the growth or the expansion of the Christian church throughout the world. The kingdom of God grows by itself like a seed. And what is this seed? What is Jesus talking about? Earlier in Mark 4, Jesus said, the seed is the Word of God, the Bible. Wherever the Word of God is sown, wherever it is planted, wherever it is proclaimed or explained or read, it carries the power to bring about repentance and faith in Jesus. The Word of God has power. Hebrews 4 says it is living and active. Isaiah 55 says it does not return empty. In John 6, Jesus said his words are spirit and life. The preacher doesn't take credit for the growth of the kingdom. The parent doesn't take credit for the growth of the kingdom. The evangelist doesn't take credit for the growth of the kingdom. It is the Holy Spirit working through the seed of God's Word that brings life and faith to many. So, what is the secret to the success of the kingdom of God? What gives and strengthens Christian faith? What calls us to repentance and brings us to believe in Jesus, our Savior, who died and rose for us for the forgiveness of our sins, who gives us even victory over death? What is that that does that? It is the Word of God, the seed planted in us that grows on its own. This is why the Word of God is the center of our Sunday morning worship. This is why there is so much of the Word of God in our Sunday morning worship. If you look through our liturgy, you'll notice that almost everything in there comes directly out of the Bible. This Word is the purpose of Sunday school and midweek and vacation Bible school. And the power of this Word is why the Word of God should be the center of your home life as you gather as a family for devotions. The seed is being planted. The Word is getting out so that it can grow and blossom into Christian faith in Jesus. Now, many people will object to Jesus' parable. Why does Jesus speak of God's Word, the Bible, being like a seed, which I'm looking at, but you can probably not even see this from where you're sitting. It's so tiny, it's so small, it's so insignificant. Seeds are easy to overlook, they're easy to forget. They're easy to deprioritize. How can the seed of the word compete with this? Or this? How can the seed of the word possibly hope to compete with this? Or there is just no hope at all for the seed of the word to compete with this, or this. I mean, seriously, the seed of the word, this, it's game over, it's done. Football wins every time. With all this competition going on against the seed of God's word, doesn't the Word of God need a little help from us? As a church, shouldn't we be finding a way to dress up the gospel? Make the seed of God's Word bigger, better, more glamorous, more attractive, more compatible with the ways that the world thinks? Actually, no. Not according to Jesus. The seed of the word grows by itself, automate, automatically. Our job is to plant the word, and then God provides the growth as he sees fit. The word doesn't need your help or mine. It starts out small, but don't underestimate how much it can grow. Two 200+ years ago, Thomas Jefferson commissioned Meriwether Lewis and William Clark to find the source of the Missouri River. It took them 15 months to do it, but eventually they found the beginning of the Missouri River near the border between Montana and Idaho on August 12, 1805. Private Hugh McNeil, a member of the expedition, quote, stood with a foot on each side of this little stream and thanked God that he had lived to straddle the mighty and heretofore deemed endless Missouri. So, at its beginning, the Missouri River is small enough to step over. At its end, where it meets the Mississippi, the Missouri River is over 1,000 feet wide. In the kingdom of God also, things start out small. The kingdom began as a tiny baby in a manger in a little town no one cared about. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and the Word grew. The Word was proclaimed as Jesus taught as one with authority, and the Word was demonstrated as Jesus healed many and calmed the sea and drove out demons. The Word was fulfilled as Jesus suffered and died on a cross for the sins of the world. By that Word, we have hope and forgiveness of sins and eternal life. The seed of the Word starts out small, but it grows. In baptism, that word has been planted within you. Through preaching and teaching of the word, the kingdom of God grows within you. Starts small, but it has the power to transform you, to make you holy in God's sight by the forgiveness of your sins. And through you, more seeds of the word are planted in the people around you. Through your acts of kindness in the name of Jesus, and through your simple words of forgiveness in Christ, through your teaching of the Word to your children and grandchildren and neighbors and friends, and the Word grows, and the kingdom of God expands as God sees fit. Let the Word of God be planted and replanted in your life, that it may grow and blossom into true faith and strong faith in Jesus. Let the Word of God be planted and replanted in your family, that your children may also grow in faith in Jesus. Let the Word of God be planted and replanted in our church, that the kingdom of God would grow and increase among us as we gather around word and sacrament. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scattered seed on the ground. Night and day, while the farmer's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. Let's pray. Lord God, bless your word wherever it is proclaimed. Make it a word of power and peace to convert those not yet your own and to confirm those who have come to saving faith. May your word pass from the ear to the heart, from the heart to the lip, and from the lip to the life, that as you have promised, your word may achieve the purpose for which you send it, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.